It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Barry Woods, and indeed, welcome to another edition of the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio this week with producer Anton. Leah is out this week, and of course, Mark McMurray, my partner and the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Great to see you, buddy. How's it going?
Nate, it's good to be back. Good to be back.
Got a great show for you today. We are going to talk to the 10 Horse Monty, Gabe Montgomery, a.k.a. the 10 Horse Monty, who we talk a whole lot about on this show, especially when we have Mike Marfell on with us, professional fisherman Mike Marfell. Gabe is Mike's partner, tournament partner, and the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel is a great place to get all kinds of awesome fishing content, both on the water, Mike and Gabe out there on the water, fishing in tournaments or practicing or whatever it may be, but also the Monday Night Live interview series that he does, the content they tape, they roll camera on everything that they do. They roll camera on the truck drive on the way to a tournament or to a practice round, and you know, so you can watch them strategize and get all of that conversation to discussion. And then after the tournament, they discuss all the things that went right and went wrong. So it's not just watching a couple guys fish, which is already great content in my opinion, but so much more than that, all at the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. And so very much looking forward to talking to Gabe and Mike Mark, as we have been talking about over the last couple weeks. It is like full-blown go time out there
on
the water.
It is. Basically, this is May is the month when almost everything's on fire.
Yeah.
It's just your early fish, you know, that spawn earlier, your crappie, your bass, they're on. They're just coming off their spawns, and or still spawning. Bluegill's just starting. Catfish just starting. So,
yeah,
May's a great month.
So we will, as we always do, bring you the fishing report at the end of the show. So in segment number three, we'll bring you the fishing report. That's about 40 minutes from now. Definitely want to keep an ear for that, because if you're going out on the water this weekend or anytime soon, you can be armed with this information. Don't want to forget about our podcast. The Bluff City Outdoors podcast is available on just about every podcast platform there is: Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Google, many, many others. You can just also go to our website, newstalkstl.com, go to the Bluff City Outdoors show page, and you can get the podcast there. You can go to the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page and get the podcast there. So many ways to get the podcast. But we know from talking to a lot of guys, they like to listen to the show while they're out on the water over the weekend, especially the fishing report part, and you know, take advantage of the knowledge that we have from so many various experts and guides all across the Missouri and Illinois area. And actually, we have recently expanded the fishing report. It's turning into... It's a good thing you're an engineer, because like it's turning into like a
it's
not just a page anymore.
It's a couple page document.
It is.
Got to try to pull it all together.
Yeah,
and trying to get it in a format that it's easy for me to read.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I'm not the best at that, but yeah. But you know, expanding the coverage is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just let you know, and it's coverage where we should be.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's not like we're giving a Lake Michigan salmon report. You
know? right. Exactly. No, but. Lakes all across the bi-state area, we have you covered each and every week with the fishing report. So definitely keep it here for that. Keep it here for the conversation with Gabe. And, you know, we'll get into some of the details during the fishing report, Mark, but what are some of the things that you're hearing from customers out at the shop over the last week or so? Guys coming in, you know, whether they're bass fishing on one of the lakes or they're catfishing in the Mississippi or the Missouri rivers, what are some of the things that, what's some of the feedback you're getting there at Bluff City?
It's just really, I mean, people are just catching a ton of fish, and they're just, and it's coming from bigger lakes, small ponds, the rivers. It's just right now, it's just, there's just fish are biting. You know, when they come off the spawn, they heal up a little bit because spawning's kind of tough on them. And then they put the feed sack back on and start eating again. So there's a little window there right after spawn where they're not as biting as good, but that only lasts for maybe a week.
Yeah.
But
so we've seen the last couple of years in a row, and we talked about this a little bit last week too. We've seen 100-plus pound catfish caught in our area in the big rivers, in the Mississippi, the Missouri River. And we kind of have a feeling that we may see another one of these big giants. And it's always nice when all week long I'm looking at the mainstream news cycle and covering these stories. It's always nice when a fishing story breaks through and yep. The headline on the Channel 4, the KMOV.com website is about a 110-pound catfish caught that's cool.
Not somebody getting shot.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it when a good story like that breaks through. And so we're all kind of have that feeling because things are red hot out there that this is happening. And, while certainly, there's always a little bit of luck involved. You can do everything right and it's still up to the fish whether it bites the hook, the lure, the bait, whatever it may be. They still have to make that decision to bite. So there is a little bit of luck involved, and certainly anybody's got a chance at catching a monster or whatever anytime you go out fishing. But these guys that typically catch these big fish, it's something that they've been working. They've been tracking. It's been something they've been watching and monitoring and working on for weeks, if not months,
if not years.
So they're on this either one particular fish, or they know that there's
or an area where those fish move and migrate. Because they don't always stay in the same spot. They move around. So I know Tim Pruitt, the guy that caught the 124 pounder at Illinois state record. He tried to identify highways where the fish moved from one point to another. And those were the areas he would concentrate on. But he'd sit out there, hours by himself, total silence, waiting,
Wow. Yeah.
And then, finally, then he caught the Illinois record fish,
There's a lot of math. There's a lot of science. There's a lot of critical thinking that goes into. And is it possible to just go down to the bank of the river and throw in a line and catch
it? It is.
It's possible.
Yes.
He certainly is. But these guys, the vast majority of the time, it's something that these guys have been calculating and working on.
And they're working on
their
target. And then, with the electronics now, they can see a fish, and try to identify it. Hey, that's a catfish. And then. In fact, one of my customers just brought me in a chart the other day, and we were sitting there doing the math on it.
Yeah.
And, calculated out how long it appeared to be on the graph compared to, the chart.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if it's right, it could be a world record blue cat. And, he knows where it's hanging. He said, I've seen it in that area a couple of times now.
Yeah.
So now he's just got to try to catch it.
Without giving you don't have to give any names, you don't got to give away any secrets or anything, but can you just kind of talk about those conversations and some of those discussions that you've been a part of or that you've, had relayed to you about, what these guys, the work that they put in to catch a fish like that?
Yeah. I mean, they're out there a lot. I mean, they'll be out there almost any time if they're not working or sleeping. He's trying to fish because he's, set a goal to try to catch one of these world-class fishes, and then say, okay, now I got the electronics, I can find it, and then try to develop a pattern of where it hangs, and then got to put the time out to try to catch it, try to get it to bite.
Yeah. I'm going to have to do the research, and so I can bring this up again next week, because just talking about this just reminded me of something. There's a documentary on YouTube that I watched a few years ago about this guy who they had identified that a world record size largemouth bass was in this lake by their house. I don't remember. This might have been in Michigan or something like that or whatever. This was several years ago. And there's a really great documentary. It had a name, as all big fish do, the general or something like that. And this guy had exactly the kind of things that we're talking about. I mean, he would go every day after work and put in a certain amount of hours and tracking and, like looking at patterns and beds and, just all these, various things or whatever, and actually caught this fish once, but It was a foul. It was a hook on the side. Yep. Foul, so that
doesn't count.
So, but they knew that this fish existed, and then even actually got it in a boat once.
Is that maybe out in California?
It might have. I can't remember. So, like, I really can't remember. That's why. And normally I wouldn't tell a story like this without researching, but it literally, just as you were talking, it all these similarities of what you're talking about with these guys tracking these catfish were exactly like this story. So I'm going to look it up, and I'll be able to tell everybody where this, you know, where it was and how you can see the story for yourself. But I mean, it was impressive. And if I remember correctly, unfortunately, it ends with they found the fish dead.
I think that was the
fish
California
passed
fish.
Away before. Yep. And it was world. Yeah. So it never got caught. And it was world record size.
Yeah, I think that might have been like Lake Castaic or one of those California deep lakes.
But this guy was actually relieved at the end of it all. I mean, he was sad that he didn't catch it, but he was happy that nobody else did because of how of all the time and effort he put into it. And now he didn't have to do like it was
it's like a relief. I don't have to go to work anymore.
I don't have to spend hours at the lake every day after work anymore. But it's a fascinating story, but it's a great look. It's great insight into exactly what we're talking about. How, you know, professional fishermen like Mike, you know, that fish and make money and win, you know, $100,000 boats and all of that, or Gabe, who we're going to talk to in a few minutes, who, you know, has a YouTube channel, so has, you know, some business, you know, lined up along with fishing as well. Like these guys, you know, there's so much more that goes into it than, you know, just the casual go out and fish a little bit. And it's just a whole other level of fishing. You know, it's like the difference between a, you know, the best slow pitch softball team in, you know, the city of St. Peter's against the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, yep. You know, like it's just a whole nother level of expertise that goes into this stuff, and
they gotta put that time in.
They gotta put that time in, and there's so much knowledge that they have. And then you get great guys like Mike Marfell and Gabe, the 10 Horse Monty, and then and your staff out there at Bluff City Outdoors, you know, that can share a lot of that knowledge and a lot of that information and pass that on, and you know, and so people, you know, your customers, the viewers, you know, people listen to this radio show, things like that. Can take a lot of that information and a lot of that knowledge and apply it to their own experiences and hopefully enhance their trips outside. And this is the time of year for it, man. It is red hot.
It is red hot. It just, you want to pass on. Like, so over at the shop, we carry Outlaw crappie rods, which is a great rod for people. Eric Morey got swung over to him from a couple other brands. But two people this week, Eric being one of them, caught 10-plus pound catfish when they were crappie fishing on these rods and still got them landed. Another guy came in last night when I was down there and said, yeah, he goes, it was about a 10 pound. Said that he thought it was a channel or a blue, but he goes, it was a big fish. And he goes, I got it in. He goes, he said, you told me that rod would hold up and be strong and sensitive. He goes, it is. He goes, that's thanks for, you know, he just came in to thank me for giving him that advice on that rod. So
that's got to be about the best feeling.
That is why we do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's because we want to put people in the best equipment that they can afford.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to oversell you and we don't want to undersell you. We want to say, hey, what's your price range? We'll hook you up with the best equipment at that price.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and that's one thing we can do that really other places can't.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's why Bluff City Outdoors has been there for so long, in Alton there, about a mile east from Fast Eddie's, servicing fishermen of the area for decades. And still, of course, that's the expertise out there at Bluff City Outdoors. But also now, don't forget about the expansion. You can also go out to Bluff City Outdoors and shoot in the archery range, take advantage of that state-of-the-art archery range, take advantage of the state-of-the-art techno hunt system. So much cool stuff happening out at Bluff City Outdoors, especially this time of year. So get out there and visit them again, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's in Alton. Follow Bluff City on Facebook and BluffCityOutdoors.com. And then, of course, right here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show every Saturday on News Talk STL. All right, we are going to talk to Gabe Montgomery, a.k.a. the 10 Horse Monty from the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. One of the best places you can go, maybe the best place you can go on YouTube for fishing content. We will talk to Gabe in just a moment here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show. You're listening to 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Tony Colombo. Producer Leah is out this week, so producer Anton is on the wheels of steel helping us out this week. And, of course, Mark McMurray, my partner, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, is here in studio with us. And joining us on the line now is the 10-Horse Monty himself, Gabe Montgomery. We talk about 10-Horse Monty YouTube channel a whole lot, especially when we have Mike Marfell on the show. Gabe is Mike's partner when they are competing in these tournaments, and of course the person who does run that 10-Horse Monty YouTube channel, which I cannot recommend enough if you're looking for quality fishing content. Might be the best fishing channel on all of YouTube, and it's all local content if you're here in the St. Louis and the Missouri-Illinois area, which is even better. So great to have Gabe on the line with us. Gabe, great to talk with you again. Thanks for taking some time out of your day. How are you?
I really appreciate it. I'm doing great. That was probably the best intro I'm ever going to get. And I think, I don't know about the best YouTube channel, but maybe one of the better ones in the area. We'll go with that.
I really believe that it might be the best, or definitely one of the best fishing channels on all of YouTube, because of the variety of things that you cover. You have the Monday night live call-in show where you interview guests every week and, you know, talk to some big names in professional fishing. So you get that sort of interview content, that that long form interview, one on one conversation content. Of course, you get video of you and Mike out on the water, or just you fishing. So you get that on the water content, and then you also get before a tournament, you guys run camera when you're strategizing and putting together your plan before a tournament, and then after a tournament, run camera on your conversations about what happened and, you know, what was good and what was bad and what worked and what didn't work. I'm telling you, because of that across the board content when it comes to fishing, I really can't think of a better channel on YouTube than the 10-Horse Monty. And that's no BS. That's real stuff.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah. We try to keep it real. I mean, that's one thing I definitely try to do on my channel. There's no gimmicky stuff. There's no Walmart challenges. There's none of that kind of stuff. It's just real, you know, hashtag real fishing, just keeping it the way it is. And that's part of tournament fishing as well. I mean, you'll see the good tournaments and you'll see the rough tournaments, because anybody that's fished tournaments knows that it doesn't always go the way that you plan it. And we do try to show the practice, because I feel it's important to show why we're doing what we're doing in the tournament, like where it came from, and that it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's the same thing when you're out there shooting a video. Like if I'm just going out on one of these local lakes in Southern Illinois, I try not to have a preconceived notion, but I'm always trying to keep the content different. So I do have somewhat of an idea of what I may be trying to do when I'm on my way to the lake, as far as a technique or a location or something that I, you know, want to show, and it doesn't work all the time. So you have to pivot. It's almost like a video filming content is almost like a tournament, because you have a specific amount of time that you have to go over there and catch fish on a certain technique. And, you know, I got to come home at some time, and if I don't get it done, then I don't have any content, and I'm still a working guy. I work 40 to 50 hours a week, and I typically only have one day, maybe two if I'm lucky, to go over there and get content. So if I flake on my day that I get to go do content, I don't have anything for that week. So it is like my back is up against the wall, and it keeps it interesting. Fishing's supposed to be fun and relaxing, and it is fun and relaxing, but as a tournament angler, there's also that clock ticking in my head, whether I'm doing content or I'm actually filming for, you know, an actual tournament itself.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. And, you know, a lot of our listeners and a lot of people that fish, you know, avid fishermen, You know, it is for them. It's a way to unplug and get out in the water. And I think that is the primary reason that I go fishing, is it's just good for the soul to get out on the water and unplug. But when you're at a certain level, there's also, you know, that you're feeding that competitive itch. You know, you've put in all this time and you've gained all this experience. And sometimes it's nice to put all that to use in a competition, you know, and get some benefit from all that sacrifice and all of those hours. And I think that you document all that stuff so well on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. I wanted to ask you, because one of the things that Mark and I have talked a lot about on this show since starting it here, and then even back at the old place when we had the outdoor show over there, we've talked about how the outdoors community, the fishing community, is growing. Are you seeing that on YouTube as well? Are you seeing more demand for your type of content? More people finding you, not only from the local area, but just, you know, people that are looking for that type of content on YouTube? But it feels like the great outdoors, people are either discovering or rediscovering, you know, their love for fishing and being outside. Are you seeing that on YouTube as well?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, geez, YouTube 7, 8, 9 years ago, if you started a fishing channel, there wasn't a lot of that out there. But now it's really saturated. So there's just about anything that you would want to find on YouTube and the outdoors market is available out there. It's really growing. It continues to grow. And of course, you know, there's the advent of shorts, which is YouTube's way of trying to compete with Instagram shorts. So you got a lot of people just doing short tip videos and stuff like that. Yeah. But as far as actually really on the water, I'll tell you the biggest thing I've seen is kayaks. I've seen a big influx in kayaks over the last 3 or 4 years. And that's an inexpensive way for somebody to get out on the water. They don't have to spend however many thousands of dollars on a glass boat. They can just buy a kayak and experience the outdoors. But yeah, it's a good thing. I like to see more people outdoors, and I don't like to see it.
Sometimes it's like the band. It's like being the first guy to see the band at the little club, and then all of a sudden they're in an arena, and you're paying $50 to see them. And when you used to be able to pay $5 to see them, it's like, I love that this band that I've known about forever is blowing up now. But I kind of liked it also when I had it all to myself. I totally get it.
Dude, I was just talking about Tyler Childers is going to be in St. Louis pretty soon, and man, if I've been listening to him for a long time. When I very first started listening to him, if I would have went to see him, I could have saw him for next to nothing. But now it's like $130 for lawn tickets.
Yeah.
You're right. It's exactly like that.
Yeah. Mark, are you seeing that what Gabe was just talking about kayakers and like other way people getting?
There's a lot of people getting into kayak. And it is. It's an inexpensive way to get in, you know, get out on the water. And it also allows you to get into water that you can't get into otherwise.
Yeah, you can.
And
you can,
a lot of people love fishing out of the kayaks.
You ever try that, Gabe? I have a buddy. I have a buddy who bought a kayak a couple years ago for that exact reason. He, you know, he likes to get in all the nooks and crannies and things like that that you can't get to sometimes with a boat.
Yeah, I had a buddy. We were fishing at BFL like 3 or 4 years ago, and the guy I was staying with had a kayak, and he just happened to have them in his truck. And I, after we were pre-fishing one day, I took him out, and it was enjoyable. It's a totally different world out there. You don't, somebody that's used to having an outboard motor or even just a trolling motor, you know, you got to work a lot harder. Of course, this was just a paddle trolling or paddle kayak. Nowadays they have, you know, they have an Ultrex on the trolling motor.
Yeah.
So they have trolling motors
or the pedals
on the kayak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or the pedals. Exactly. But it's super stealthy. I mean, there's a lot of times where I really wish I had a kayak. There's a local lake that I fish has 2 small ponds that are outside of the actual lake, and there's a little small cut. And if you had a kayak, you could just slip right into those ponds and fish them. But in my John boat, I can't get in there.
Yeah.
But I look at those and I'm like, man, I bet there's a bunch of really big bass back there just waiting to be caught.
One of those highways we were talking about in the last segment. One of those highways that you can intercept some fish on as they pass back and forth.
Point A to point B.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Gabe, if you had a what's your perfect you know, if you could sort of create your perfect setting to get out on the water, what would it be? Would it be like a pond? Would it be a bigger lake? Would it be bank fishing on a boat? What if you could set up sort of your perfect day, what would it look like?
You know, I think I would have to go back to a time when I didn't have children, and that would be I spent a lot more time fly fishing on rivers.
Oh,
I really
yeah.
enjoyed that, like the current river mm-hmm. below Montauk State Park. I've had, or even out in Colorado, we've traveled out west many, many years, and you get out on those streams, and to me, that's ultra peaceful.
I mean, that's beautiful.
You're out there just
yes,
yeah. I think that as far as the perfect setting, that would probably be right there at the top. But as far as fishing in an actual boat, I kind of like the fall fishing is one of my favorite times when people start, it's been busy all spring and all summer, and then the air temperatures start cooling down. A lot of the fishermen start leaving the water and they head to the woods. You know, you bow hunting, they pick up the bow and they start scouting around, and you've got deer hunting. So late November, December, but it's not so cold that it's hard to be out there. You get really comfortable temperatures, and it's really peaceful. The leaves are starting to fall off the trees, and you can see into the woods really far, so you get a lot more visibility. That is probably my second best
yeah.
scenario.
You know, I love that you said that.
Slowing down.
I love that you said that because, you know, it makes me think that as much as I love taking my boat out on Lake of the Ozarks, you know, and I have an absolute blast going into, you know, some of the coves that you find and you've kind of cultivated over the years, and you think you have your little secrets or whatever, and you know, or just taking a little John boat out on a farm pond or something that nobody else gets to fish, and you know, you can have a great day. Like that. But when I think about it, I think the most fun that I have is going to, so for me, it's the Jack's Fork River. There's a, because it's, we have a family connection to a little place down off the Jack's Fork River, a little cabin resort area. I use the word resort very loosely. But going out and fishing in those types of rivers for smallmouth bass, I can't, that type of fishing. In those little rivers, and we got a lot of those around our area. You know, the Merrimack River, the Big River, Jack's Fork, all these types of places. That's pretty tough to beat, is getting out there and being in the middle of nowhere and standing waist deep in some water.
Yeah,
and,
that's fun. I've done that a couple times.
Yeah,
it's a good time.
That is a good time. So
that's kind of how we all grew up fishing. A lot of us. I remember as a kid, I would have my mom drop me off at different locations and just kind of wade fish. And then when I got my driver's license, I actually got a Missouri Gazetteer, which is a, you know, kind of a book that had all these like maps. Each county was dissected by a little grid, and you could find it. I would look at county roads or gravel roads that intersected a creek or a small river, and I would spend a day just, I park at an access spot and I just wade fish. And those are some of the best times I've ever had outdoors.
Yeah. That's fantastic. So, Gabe, like I said, we got to get you back on again because I want to get into some of like the experiences and things that are happening for you out on the water this year. And, of course, like I said, you can always keep up with all that stuff just by following the Ten Horse Monty YouTube channel. But real quick, this year so far, what is one piece of advice or one thing that you've learned that that's working out there this year? That's kind of a go-to for somebody who might be getting out on the water this weekend and just wants to give themselves the best chance at success. Like, what would be a basic piece of advice that you've picked up from your experiences this year?
Well, I dropped a video Wednesday, and in that video, I made an adjustment. And that's one thing that I feel is very important with fishing. And sometimes you're hard headed and you want to go throw a spinnerbait or you want to throw a crankbait and catch them that way.
Yep.
But they won't, sometimes they're not biting like that. So keeping an open mind and not getting so committed to one thing that you're not able to change up to something different. So maybe you're wanting to cover a lot of water, but it's not happening. You might have to pick an area that you've had confidence in and slow down, you know, fish something like a shaky head or like a jig or a drop shot. A wacky rig is something that's been working really good for me. But I would say a tip to somebody that's going out, it is spring, the fish are up shallow, but that doesn't mean that they're always going to be biting. So mix it up. If you're not catching them one way, try a different technique, and eventually you're going to run across something that's going to produce some bikes for you.
Great stuff. Great advice. And like I said, so many more things that I want to talk to you about. So we got to get you back on the show very, very soon. That is Gabe Montgomery, AKA the 10 Horse Monty, 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Check it out. And make sure you have some time, because you're gonna click on a video and then you're just gonna start going down the rabbit hole on the channel, and you're gonna keep on clicking on videos. I'm telling you, it's that good. So make sure you check out the 10 Horse Monty on YouTube. And Gabe, we'll get you back on the show again very, very soon, my friend. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. I appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, you bet. Great stuff. Bye-bye. There. Great stuff there. And seriously, can't recommend the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel enough. You combine the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel with the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast, and you have got the best fishing content, best outdoors content that you're going to find anywhere. So make sure you're subscribed to this show's podcast, the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast, on your favorite podcast platform, and make sure you're subscribed to the 10 Horse Monty channel on YouTube. All right, we're going to get you that fishing report, the weekly fishing report, and we're going to do that in just a moment. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Thank you for joining us this week. Going to bring you the weekly fishing report here in just a moment. Just want to remind you one more time about the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Huge thank you to Gabe Montgomery and Mark. You can just tell, talking to Gabe for those, 12, 13 minutes that we just talked to him for, he's a wealth of information when it comes to fishing.
Yeah, he definitely. And what's nice about him is he spans all the different types of water.
Yeah.
He's not just a big lake. He's concentrating on those small bodies of water.
I didn't even know he had the history of fly fishing, because I always associate. Mike is so hardcore bass fishing, and particularly big lake bass fishing because of tournaments and his very high level of competition that he's a part of, and Gabe is his partner. That I just sort of figured that Gabe was kind of the same way. I didn't know he had that background of fly fishing and the little rivers and things like that.
We need to talk to Gabe sometime about the Southern Illinois strip pit fishing, because I bet he's done a fair amount of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we'll definitely get him back on. And, as you could tell just from that brief conversation that we had with him in that last segment, just a wealth of great fishing content, all at the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. So make sure you're checking that out. And as I mentioned a moment ago, between the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel and the Bluff City Outdoors Show, whether you're listening to it on News Talk STL or you're listening to us on the podcast, you combine those two things and you're not going to get more great outdoors and fishing content anywhere else. Before we get to the fishing report, I want to remind you, while we're talking about great outdoor activities, it is fishing season full blown, and it is also grilling season in full swing. And next time you are out there with the grill on the deck, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. Rockwood Lump Charcoal is a great local company, just like Bluff City Outdoors. And so you're supporting local business, you're supporting local industry, because Missouri is the number one charcoal maker in the United States. But Rockwood Lump Charcoal is also the number one ranked consumer charcoal nationwide 9 years running. So you're using the best product available as well. I make sure to emphasize the lump, Rockwood Lump Charcoal, because that's one of the things that sets Rockwood apart from the rest. It's not the traditional briquettes that maybe you're used to, with the traditional grilling style. Lump charcoal is a lot cleaner. There's not extra chemicals. There's not extra filler. It's basically pure carbon. It's made of Missouri hardwoods. That's about the only ingredient in Rockwood Lump Charcoal, and it just creates a superior grilling experience across the board. You have more control. It burns hotter. It burns faster than the traditional briquettes do. And you can find Rockwood Lump Charcoal at over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks, all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, that time of the week again to bring you this week's fishing report. Mark McMurray, take it away.
Okay, we'll get started. First place, we've got the Truman Lake with Jordan Lear. He's a guide and a buddy out there. Crappie are good. Fish 10 to 15 feet of water. Fish to standing timber on the main lake flats and open water schools. Jigs and minnows are both working. Catfish good. Anchoring on the shallow mud flats on the main lake, 2 to 10 feet using Santee Cooper rig. Fresh cut shad. Bass are good. Fish the main lake, the windy banks, in the backs of the creeks and the coves. Throw a half-ounce football jig in the brush piles from 8 to 20 feet deep. Square bill crankbaits, finesse worms on a shaky head, and topwater baits, spooks, whopper ploppers, and buzz baits are all working. Walleye fair, fish the main lake humps and points. Crawler honers and trolling crankbaits working on the shallow flats. White bass and hybrids fair, fish the main lake humps in the flats with live shad on the Carolina rig, 20 to 30 feet of water. Got the Jason Kaiser Mark Twain fishing intel. Water temp 62 to 72. Crappie, some males are starting to move to the bank along with some females. The bite has been spotty. Finding a lot of crappie on the banks in one spot is tough. If you're using a cork, 12 to 18 inches deep. More females are being caught out deeper, 5 to 8 feet water range. Bass, being caught in 4 to 10 feet of water on secondary points with where there's timber present around the spawning pockets. Jigs, crankbaits, spinnerbaits have all been working. Work the jigs and spinnerbaits slow, especially around the laydowns. Catfish are starting to go shallow. You can catch them in the mud, flat mud banks, 2 to 8 feet of water with a rod and reel. Getting reports of cut shad is the bait of choice. Carlisle out to Eric Morey. Level is 447, the water temp 75 degrees. Fishing is great right now with the shad spawn currently happening there, and they're smashed up against the rocks. Catfish are hitting well on the shallow flats and hitting very good on the rocks. Crappie spawn is currently happening, and the bite is great on the rocks. Most people running jigs a foot under a bobber. Or slow rolling jigs parallel to the rocks. At the Wren, Fred Mooney, water temp 66, levels 409.3. Crappie are surging to the bruck brush and the laydowns. Minnows and a slip card are very effective, and the jig bite is great. Look for buck brush to be good for a couple more weeks. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey, crappie and bluegill are shallow spawning and biting well on jigs and minnows under a cork. Large mass have pretty much spawned out. Blue cat bite on the river is good right now. And then again, another river catfishing report from Will Ash. He's a buddy of mine. Blue cat are hitting best in the early morning, and he's on a really good night bite. Spawns right around the corner. Southern Illinois lakes, Gabe Montgomery, Kincaid, water temps 72 to 78, 3 to 7 feet of visibility. Bass are post-spawn. There will be another small wave in June, but the main spawn is over. Now is a great time to throw a topwater. This can be done with some of the best frog fishing of the year. Plenty of bass shallow, garden fry, and feeding on bluegill.
Man, the topwater. That's my favorite way. That's my favorite way to fish. Yeah, sorry.
He said he likes the poppin' style frog right now. Start on a short main lake pockets and small coves. Also check the backs of the spawning flats. Any piece of cover in the water has potential. Cover water, stick with black, brown, and orange-bellied frogs. He said he also dropped a recent video out on his
yeah, site, so that's 10 Horse Monty, Gabe Montgomery, yep.
Crappie are relating to the weed jeds and brush. 12 feet is always a good starting depth. Bluegill are on the beds, but they're finishing up. Multiple spawns throughout the warm water period. Lake of Egypt, water temps 70s, 5 to 7 feet of visibility. Bass are spotty, post-spawn. One of my favorite ways to catch them is shallow, mid-depth, post-spawn bass with a swim jig. Black or Houdini, colored Cumberland Pro Lures, Bama swim jig. So that's pretty specific.
Mm-hmm.
With a green pumpkin rage craw. So get that exact stuff, all that at Bluff City Outdoors.
Yeah, that's right. You got that right.
Quarter ounce, go up to 0 to 5 feet of water. Crappie are relating to the grass edges and the brush piles, casting a light jig with or without a float, was getting bites. Wind is your friend. Said the bluegill are shallow in the spawning and in the cuts in the coves. Crab Orchard, water temps are near 80, but fluctuate daily due to the shallow nature of the lake. Visibility 1 to 3 feet. Said bass live shallow in this lake, covering water with a square bill crankbait, swim jig, or buzz bait is a great way to generate bites. Pick cover apart from a jig. Ask Mike Marfell for his favorite color. He said the crappie are moving offshore to the brush piles.
Yeah, yeah, I love it.
Back
I told
to
you,
Tony,
this
for Lickety-O.
This is the expanded fishing report each and every week. More details, more guides, more information every week here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show. And yes, I do have the Lake of the Ozarks report from Mike Marfell. He says, Lake of the Ozarks bass report, fishing is good. Lots of bass still shallow, either spawning or guarding bass fry. Target spawning areas behind the docks, under the cables, in the shade of the walkways. Best baits for that are a wacky rigged worm, your favorite Texas rigged soft plastic, shaky head, worm, or finesse jig. Early morning or cloudy slash low light conditions. Topwater baits are in play for sure. Square bill crankbaits along sides and fronts of docks and spawning areas are working as well. If you see balls of bass fry, it is a guarantee a bass is under them guarding them. So top water over them or toss a wacky rig to them and let it sink through them and hold on. And he puts hold on in all caps. Other options are fishing the gizzard shad spawn early in the morning up shallow with a swim bait, spinner bait, chatter bait, or top water. Starting to be more fish post-spawn, so target those secondary points, channel swing banks, or first steeper banks just outside of spawning areas with a jig, Texas-rigged soft plastics, or a shaky head worm. Fish are biting, so if you are not getting bites, move, all caps. As always, it is League of the Ozarks, so be safe, wear your life jacket and kill switch, and be courteous to everyone that you encounter on the water or on their dock. Quick thing, because you mentioned a couple times in your various fishing reports there, and it was on in here, bass fry, that's the eggs.
That's the young.
That's the nest. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
the young.
They've hatched. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's the hat. Yeah, okay.
The hatchlings.
The babies, yeah. So when you see them, you know that mom and dad are guarding them.
Yep.
And that's what he's saying. Throw that, you know, throw a top water right over the top of that.
Yeah, because like something's going to eat them.
Yep. There's going to, yeah. And they're going to be protecting that nest, essentially. And a great way to, one of those great things to spot and recognize and take advantage of. Almost out of time, but a piece of information. We're talking with Ten Horse Monty in that last segment. And like I said, we've been talking about this for a while now. You know, the increased popularity of fishing and the great outdoors, and there's something happening particularly that might affect our crappie fishermen out there that is a first time ever situation.
Yeah, we got the word from our bait guy who Dave Cassens, who runs out of Grafton, but he serves, you know, most of Eastern Missouri, Southern Illinois in our area. And he said that report from the hatcheries down there is they're probably going to be out of minnows for a couple of weeks coming up.
Wow.
And possibly starting like next week.
And you said that's never happened before.
They said it's never happened. I know the one hatchery down there has 1,600 acres of water for raising the fish and the goldfish and stuff. And they just said it's just there's been so many people getting into it that
Yeah, it's not like something went wrong at the hatchery. No. There's not a problem.
It's just they can't produce enough.
It's just the demand. It's just the demand for
which just shows that the people are still out there fishing. You know, and we've noticed that at the shop.
Super encouraging. I love to hear that.
COVID drove the people out, and so many of them are staying with it. And,
Rediscovered the great outdoors.
Rediscovered the great outdoors.
And, one of the very only silver linings to come out of the pandemic was that people were kind of forced to find other things to do, and they sort of a lot of people were reminded
of a lot of women fishing.
Yeah,
a lot of women fishing.
How great it is to get out on the water,
and you know, all ages too. That's what's great about it.
That's that other really encouraging thing.
It is. I mean, I think when Cabela's had talked about a 10 to 12 year bump from COVID, just in that a bubble of people that got introduced to it, and hopefully it'll last.
So don't rush out and buy every minnow that you can and make the problem worse, but certainly be aware of, you know, rationing out your bait, right?
And have to pick up some jigs.
Yeah, exactly. And those would be available at Bull City Outdoors.
Oh, yeah, we got plenty of those.
So make sure you go out there and stock up at Bluff City Outdoors. Mile east of Fast Eddie's there in Alton. And that's going to about do it for the show today. That is my partner, Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Again, make sure you stop by Bluff City Outdoors before your next trip into the great outdoors. They've got you covered across the board. Don't forget about the archery range out there. Do some free shooting in the archery range. Not free of charge, free just because you can just go out there and free shoot.
Yeah, it's not a league based. You can join one.
Exactly. Leagues, yep, you can join a league as well if you want to do that. And you can learn more always at the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page and BluffCityOutdoors.com. Make sure you subscribe to the Bluff City Outdoors podcast.
A little update too, Tony. So we did have a.
Oh, yeah, please.
So earlier today, I had a wrap up call with the Tourism Bureau and the R100 people.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, hey, how'd the event go? And so we're looking at next year, we're got it pinned down to 2 weekends, second or third weekend of April. It'll be next year.
So it's coming back.
So it's coming back.
R100's coming back.
Yeah, R100.
Nice.
So next, So next year we'll have the date way ahead of time.
Yeah.
Be able to help spread the word a little
bit. Oh, that's
better.
Wonderful. That's great.
But everybody was pleased. Tourism was pleased with the turnout, considering we had a storm and hail and all kinds of crap Saturday.
But yet another example of the growth, particularly in our area, of the people wanting to get outside and, you know, whether it be hunting or fishing or just hiking, camping, whatever it may be. And, yeah, make sure before your next trip to the great outdoors, go visit Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook, BluffCityOutdoors.com. And, of course, the Bluff City Outdoors Show, which you can hear every week here on News Talk STL and on our podcast anytime. For Mark McMurray, I'm Tony Colombo. Big thanks to producer Anton for filling in for Leah this week. And we'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.